Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Krisus Daf Tes Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin 10 lines from the top, or you may see it, the 6th wide line at the beginning of the Mishnah. We might note that this Mishnah is really the beginning of a series of Mishnayos in which Rabbi Akiva is presented as asking a question. This Mishnah, the Mishnah that you find at the bottom of this Omid, and also the third Mishnah that you find on Omid Beis, you find Rabbi Akiva asking Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua in the butcher shop of Imum a few questions. When we get to Daf Tes Zayin, Mirtz Hashem, we will see Rabbi Akiva posing a question to Rabbi Eliezer. This Mishnah begins, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alti Esra Mamliel vs Rabbi Yeshua be'idlis shel imum. I asked, says Rabbi Akiva, at the asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, in the Itlis is a butcher shop of Imum, Shahoch Likach Behemo Lemishte Benoi Shel Rabbi Gamliel. They were there to buy meat for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. So I asked them, Habo al Achoisoi Beal Achois Oviv Veal Achois Imo Imahu, one who has intimacy with these forbidden individuals, with his sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister. What is the din? Chayav achas al kulon. Is he in violation of one offense? Or let us say, if he does so unknowingly, so is he chayav one korban chatas, one sin offering for all of them? O chayav al kol achas vachas. Or does this generate a separate sin offering for each act? By the way, the translation that we're offering now, you will see when we get into the Gemara, will be subject to change. So, Omru Loi, they responded, Loi Shomanu, an answer to your question, so we do not have a tradition, we didn't hear about it, Aval Shomanu, but we did hear about the following, Habo Al Chamesh Noshav Nidois Behelom Achas, one who has an act of intimacy with his 5 different wives, that they all happen to be menstruant women, shehu chayov al kol achas v'achas, and he will be guilty a separate sin offering, even though he did these acts in one state of lack of awareness. Nevertheless, they will generate a separate korban chatos. The royin anu shadvorim kavachomer, and it appears to us that your question would follow from this situation through kavachomer logic. The Gemara now analyzes what was Rabbi Akiva's original question. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note on the side where you see a double underline featured. The double underlining in this Gemara represents shlavim, stages. La'anois al ha-shela, to answer the question of heichi domi. What is it speaking about? Ha-dekotoni ha-bo alachos, the case that was the subject of Rabbi Akiva's question, what exactly was the case? The Gemara, Hechidomi, I leimo kidekotoni, if the question was as it was stated literally, namely, a person had a separate act of intimacy, forbidden intimacy, with 3 different women. My tiboyale, what would be the motivation for Rabbi Akiva to even ask his question? Hare shemos muchlokin, hare gufin muchlokin. you have Shemos Muchokin. That means there's a separate lav, a separate negative commandment regarding a sister, a father's sister, and a mother's sister. And Gufin Muchlokin, you have three different people. So it's obvious that he would be guilty of three separate offenses. Rabbi Akiva wouldn't ask about that. Elohochi Kotani. Rather, the following is what is to be understood as the Mishnah. Habo al achoisoi shehi achois oviv shehi achois imoi. A person who has intimacy with one woman who at the same time is has three titles: his sister, his father's sister, and his mother's sister. Now, how do you have one woman that carries with her all three titles? That will be the subject of the Gemara later on. The question right now is, it's one woman that has three labels on her. Chayov achas al kulon, or chayov al kol achas v'achas mahu. Is he chayov one offense for all of them, or is he chayov a separate violation for each one? And now the Gemara analyzes, and the structure of the analysis is an Aleph Oy Dilma Beis structure, two sides of the question. Mi Amrinon Hare Shemus Muchlokin. Do we say that you have separate labels, separate negative commands, and that will generate separate sin offerings? Oy Dilma Hare Ein Gufin Muchlokin. Or it's one woman that has three labels on her, but it's not. She's not separate bodies. She's one woman. So it's one act of intimacy with one woman, maybe, that is considered only one offense, even though there are three labels on her. Amru loi, so Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, who were asked the question, respond and say, lo shomanu, we didn't hear a tradition or have a tradition regarding your specific case. Avol shomanu, but we did hear about the following. Habo al chamesh noshav nidois bevas achas, one who conducted forbidden intimacy with his five wives that were all nida. Shechayav al kol achas veachas mishum nida. There is a separate nida violation for each one. For ainu shadvarim kavuchom, it appears to us that your question would follow from what we did hear as a kavuchomer, as follows. Uma habo al chamesh noshav nidos bevas achas shehi shem echod chayov al kol achas viachas. Mind you, a man had a relationship with five nida wives in one state of lack of awareness, and they are all one violation. They're all called nida. It's one label that applies to each woman. Your question of achoisoi shi achois aviv shi achos imo, a woman that has three labels on her, shehein gimel shemois, eino din shi chayav al kol achas v'achas, certainly he should be chayav for each one, a separate korban chatas. The Gemara now says that this kavachomer that they were making from the case of chamesh noshav nidos to the case of achos shi achois aviv shi achos imoi is a weak kavachomer. Iko lemifrach, there is a weakness in the logic. Ma lechomesh nidos shekein gufin muchlokin. In the case that they did hear the tradition of the five wives, of course there are five separate offenses because they're five separate women, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva's question, which involved one woman and in fact one act of intimacy. So how can they suggest that Rabbi Akiva's question would follow through a kal v'chomer? Elo omar kro erevas achosuk ilah. This is a pasuk from which is in effect an extra type pasuk, and it is here to teach us l'chayev al achosu shi achos aviv shi achos imo. This pasuk tells me that very point, that a woman that has three separate labels on her, she is mechayev three separate offenses, and hence three separate korban chatos. Omer avado baravo mishkachas lo. This case can happen in reality, b'rishio bar rishio, the case of a wicked person, the son of a wicked person. As we go on in the Gemara, let us draw your attention to the chart that accompanies this case. This is an accompanying chart that we actually used on Daf Yud Dalid Omid Beis as well, so that you should have it available to you on your screen, or maybe you have printed it out. The case of Rashiya Bar Rashiya is as follows. Shebo al Imo. Here's a man that had relations with his mother. We have on our chart a numbering system which is designed to show a progress in time. So we have a person who had relations with his mother. The Hoylid Shtei Bonois, and he had two daughters. That you can see on the chart, on the diagram, one daughter is in a triangle and the other daughter is in a diamond. V'chozar ubo al achas mehen, v'hoylid ben. And now this individual, you can see the arrow with the two next to it, after having had relations with his mother and producing two girls, he then has relations with one of the two girls. We see the girl in the triangle. Now, that union produces a child, a son. Ubo benoi al achos imo. And that son then has relations with his mother's sister. That's the woman in the diamond. Now, in that one act of intimacy, that in effect is she achoso, the diamond relationship between ben and bas that you see in the diamonds. So what is the diamond bas to the ben in the diamond? What is that relationship? So the Gemara points out she achoso, they are brother and sister. Now that's true by virtue of the fact that they have the same father. That was the ben that you see in the circle. Shehi achos aviv. She is also the brother of her father. Of his father, that is. And you can see on our diagram how we've labeled the under bays. You can see under the chart there's achos imo, and the gimel indicates achos aviv. And we've offered additional explanation as to how each one of these comes to be. But for our purposes, this is called the case of the Havelei Rashiya Bar Rashiya. This is a wicked person who is following in the footsteps of his wicked father. Wicked, as you can see by all of the illicit relations that took place here in order to create this situation. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei. Bo al ho'erva, we have written there on the outside margin, one who has relations with a forbidden woman. V'chazar ubo aleho behelam echad, and then had again relations with her in one state of lack of awareness. Machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yochanan v'chachamim kamo chayovin. There will be a Tanaic controversy as to how many sin offerings would this person have to bring. So now the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Bo aleho, a person had relations, intimacy with one of the forbidden relatives. V'chazar ubo aleho, v'chazar ubo aleho, had multiple times forbidden illicit relations with the same woman in one state of lack of awareness. In other words, he didn't discover that he did something wrong until he entered the second intimacy. Chayav al kol achas v'achas divrei Rabbi Elazar. He is considered in violation, and for each act, he's then guilty of bringing a separate korban chatas. V'chachomim omrim eino chayav elo achas. He would be guilty of and obligated to bring only one sin offering. Umoidim chachomim l'Rabbi Eliezer. The chachomim will concede to Rabbi Eliezer regarding a person's multiple obligations, bebo al chamesh noshav nidos bevas achas, shu chayav al kol achas veachas. In such a case, that he has relations with his five separate wives that are all nidos, and he does it bevas achas, meaning in one state of lack of awareness. There, the Chachamim will concede to Rebbe Elazar that there will be multiple, multiple sin offering obligations. Hoyo v'hu goram lohen, because he caused each one of them to bring a separate chatos. So since each one of these women of his, each one of these wives will have to bring her own separate korban chatos, he too will have to bring a separate korban chatos. The Rashi, hoyol v'hu goram lehem lahavi kol achas chatos, tainu chamesh chatois, v'kochu nami maisi chamesh chatois. Avol chamesh biois be'ervo achas behelam echod, hi nami lo masi elo chad. She too, in the case of multiple acts of intimacy with the same woman forbidden relative, just like she brings only one korban chatos, so v'chein hu, so too he brings only one. Omar, the Gemara continues, Omar le Rav ol Rav Nachman. Mi amrinon hayo v'hu goram lohen. This logic that since he caused them, the women, to bring each one a separate korban chatos, therefore he shall bring a separate korban chatos for each act, even though they were all under the heading of nida, is that a svara that we really use? Is that a piece of logic that we use? For Hotanya, we have the following source. Hu behelam achas vihi b'chamesh halomas. If the man had done an act, whether it be five acts of intimacy with five separate women or five acts of intimacy with the same woman, but he was in one state of lack of awareness throughout. And she, the woman, was aware each time after she committed the sin. Hu einu chayav elo achas, v'chayeves al kol achas v'achas. He, since he was in one state of lack of awareness throughout, brings only one sin offering. She, or they, that were separate, in the case of one woman after several acts of intimacy, and she was aware each time after she violated the law, she will bring five separate chatos. So what do we see from this source? That even though she will bring separate chatos, he does not. Elo emo, rather, with regard to the case of the man with five wives, each one in nida, that, and in which we said that the Chachamim will concede to Rabbi Lezer that there's a separate chiv for each one. Hayo v'gufen muchlakin, since each wife is a separate individual. That's gufin, literally bodies are separate. So that generates a separate korban chatas, even on the part of the man. The Gemara now asks a question that lasts a few lines to develop. You can see the shin that's been encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Before learning the question inside, let's glance at what we've written under our nosei heading in the outside margin. The nosei reads, She'ela, a question. Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer, de bo al ho'erva, v'chozer u bo alel behelam echad. According to Rebbe Eliezer, who said, one who has relations with a forbidden woman, and then does so repeatedly, ma hadin, b'mi shekotzar, v'chozer v'kotzar b'shabas behelam echad. What is the din if a person did an act of ktsira? Ktsira is harvesting. An act of harvesting. And then repeated the act of harvesting. So Rabbi Elazar, we should just point out, said that if one was Baal Erva and then had again repeat relations with her, he's chayav for each act. What is the din with regard to harvesting, and then repeat. He repeats that and harvests again, and repeats again, harvests again, and he does this on Shabbos. What will Rabbi Eliezer say about that case? As we pointed out, we have a long question marking. The shin that we noticed was circled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicates that all of these lines are the question. So the Gemara asks, Ibaya laho, kotsar v'kotsar mali omar Rabbi Eliezer. If a person did an act of harvesting, and the quantity necessary for an act of harvesting of growth would have to be a fig size, a fig amount of whatever plant or vegetable is being harvested. And it does this again and repeats it in one state of lack of awareness. What does Rabbi Eliezer say about that? And as we say, we have two sides of the analysis, and we label them with an aleph, and then a squiggle under an old Dilma base appears on the next line. Taimo de Rabbi Eliezer, Hossam, is it so that the reason in the case of the repeat intimacy with the forbidden relative that there is a separate chiyuv on each one? Mishum, is it because the ha ovad tartin, because he did two acts? The amtul lahochi, and therefore Omar chayav al kol achas ve'achas, and therefore he is chayav for each one separately. V'hochi nami da'ova tartin. Here too, he has done two. Oy dilma, taima de Rabbi Eliezer hosam. It could be that the reason for Rabbi Eliezer there in the case of the repeat intimacy. Because it's impossible to combine the acts together. Each act is a separate act, and they can't be combined. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer said that he is chayav for each one separately. In the case of the acts of harvesting, where he did two acts of harvesting in one state of lack of awareness, since it is possible to, let us say, hold the two figs or fig quantities together, eino chayav eloachas. He can snip them off in one act of cutting. He can snip two figs off in one shot. Therefore, kotsar, and if he did them in a sequential fashion, if it's in one state of lack of awareness, since the potential for doing them together exists, he should be chayav only one. My, so what is the halacha? We're asking about Rabbi Eliezer's opinion with the case, with regard to the case of kotsar v'chozer v'kotsar. Omar Rabba. Rabba represents response number one. Taimo de Rabbi Eliezer hosam, in the case of the illicit relations, that he is chayav for each one separately, mishum de ovad tarti, because he did two acts. Hochinami, with regard to the harvesting, ho ovad tarti, he did two separate acts of harvesting. And therefore, chayav, Rabbi Eliezer would say, chayav for each one separately. Rav Yosef Omar, Rav Yosef disagrees, and he says, Taimu de Rabbi Eliezer hosam, there in the case of the erva, the separate chiyuv was mishum di efshul la'arvan, because it's impossible to do them together. Aval efshur lo la'arvan, but with regard to an act, two separate acts that could be done together, like is the case with the harvesting, eino chayav elo achas. He will be guilty of only one sin offering in the event that he does them in a sequential fashion, since they could potentially be done together. Esve Abaye l'Rabo. Abaye challenges Rabo's approach. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev al vlode molochos b'mokoim avois molochos. Rabbi Eliezer will be mechayev a separate sin offering for a person who on Shabbos violates the primary and derivative acts of melacha on Shabbos. Now we can infer from this, that's as far as avos and toldos are concerned, a primary act and a derivative act. Ho av v'av bivas achas, but if he does the same primary act twice, putter, that would be exempt. Once again, only with regard to an av and a tolda would Rabbi Lezer say that generates two separate offenses. But the same av repeated twice, no. The e amris taimid Rabbi Lezer mishum to ka'ova tarti, if, as Rabbo said, that the basis for Rabbi Lezer is that you did two times an act, amai potter, why should this inference be so? In other words, why should there be exemption? Omar mar brei de ravno. So Mor says, Anov Rav Nechumi bar Zecharia targimno, I and Rav Nechumi explained, Hocho b'mai askinon, the source in which Rabbi Lezer is mechayev on the vlode melachos, from which we were medayik. If he did the same av twice, he would be chayev only one. You know what the case is? Bedolis hamudles al gabi te'eno v'kotzitzon be'bas achas. Mishum hochi mechayev Rabbi Lezer. The case is of a grapevine that was laid over laid over and supported by a fig tree. The Rashi across from here explains, Hamudlis al gabi teino, uteinim yesh bateino, vein anovim bagefen. There are figs on the fig tree that's supporting the vine of the grapevine, and there are no grapes on the vine. Vayetzorach livtzor hagefen lahasoka, and he needed to cut branches from the grapevine for heat, for fuel. The kotzas v'vasachas priateino uzmoras hagefen, where he did one act of cutting and in which he removed a vine branch and a fig. The chayav shtayim. There, it's one act, and he's chayav for two separate offenses. Chado apri, one for the harvest of the fruit, the te'eno, the fruit of the te'eno tree, the fig tree, the hainu kotzer. That's called, in terms of Hilchis Shabbos, laws of Shabbos, that's the Av Moloch of Kotzer. V'chala azmora, and one act for cutting the branch of the grapevine. The Tolda de Kotzer, that's a derivative of the Av Moloch of Kotzer, it's a derivative act. The Kaimelon B'Shabbos, Zomer V'tzorch Leitzim, Tolda de Kotzer Hu. Pruning a tree where you need the wood of the tree is called a tolda of kotzer. Mishum hochi chayev shtayim afal gav de vasachas. He's chayev two offenses, even though he did them in one act. Hoyo v'shemus muchlokin ze av zu tolda, because one is an av and one is a tolda. One is a primary and one is derivative. V'gufin muchlokin, and they're also two separate entities. The shnei ilonos hang. They're two separate trees. So you'll have this all of this element of separateness. Therefore, Rebbe Lezer sees in this case that one will be chayev as two separate offenses. However, the kavasa, the inference case, kotzar v'kotzar, hechi mishkachas lo demiftar, the case of the double kotzer. Kotzer is the act of harvesting a fruit. The double act that he's chayav, that he's exempt, meaning he's chayav only one. Kegon shekotzar shtei grogros v'vas achas, where he cut the two figs in one act of cutting. Avo kotzar grogros v'chotzar v'kotzar kegros chayav. If, however, he would have harvested a fig quantity or an actual fig and did again the same act in a separate action, that would generate two separate chiyuvim and two separate offenses, and that is in line with what Rabba said when he explained Rebbe Lozar with regard to the illicit relations, that the multiple obligation, the multiple punishment or obligation to bring sin offering is because of separate actual acts. Likewise, with regard to Kotzar v'chazar v'kotzar, if he did the two acts of harvesting in a separate fashion, even though they might have been in one state of lack of awareness, he will be chayev for a separate one each one separately. The Mishnah. The old Shoal Rabbi Akiva. Another question Rabbi Akiva posed to Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Aver hamidulderes bebehemo mahu. This is a limb of the animal that is partially or mostly severed from the animal itself, but a little bit remains attached. That's an aver hamidulderes, a dangling limb. With regard to behemo, what is the din? Will this limb metama, will it communicate ritual impurity as does an aver menachai, as does a limb removed from a live animal, a limb that's completely removed, that's cut off of a living animal, is metama, communicates ritual impurity to the level of tumas nevela. What is the din regarding the aver hamiduldal? Omru lo lo shamanu, similar to the response we saw before, they, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, say we don't have a tradition on your question, avol shamanu, but we did hear another case involving a dangling limb, Avraham Edulderes ba'odom, a human being that has a dangling limb, shehu tohor, that it does not communicate ritual impurity. V'kach hoyu, we're now at the top of Amud Beis. The Kachoyu says, Mukei Shchin are people that are afflicted with a certain type of disease which causes limbs to fall from the person. If a person was suffering, unfortunately, from this affliction of being a Mukei Shchin, and it came time to do a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and individuals have to maintain their ritual purity in order to slaughter and eat, partake of the Korban Pesach. So what happens if a person was a Mukeshrin and he wanted to, in honor of the sacrifice, not to be in this disgusting state of having a dangling limb from his body, what would they do? And we'll see very shortly that they're going to have the limb severed from their body. This is better than having a situation of a dangling limb. So they would do as follows. Holech lo erev Pesach etzel harofe. On the 14th of Nisan, which is the eve of Pesach, they would go to the doctor, the cholcho, and the doctor would make an incision in this dangling limb, incision in the area that it's still attached, reducing the amount attached, ad shemeniach lo boi kesaira, until a hair's breadth of this dangling limb remained attached, v'toich boi besira, then he would impale the limb on some type of peg, v'nimshach mimenu, and the person would draw away from it in a type of sudden jerking motion. The halo osepischo, the haroife osepischo, the patient would still be tohor, the doctor would be tohor, and they could both go and do their korban pesach. The royan onu she hadvorim kavachomer, and we see from this case that regarding your question, the Rabbi Kiva's original question about the behemoth with the dangling limb, that it would certainly be through Kal V'chomer logic, would be the behemoth or that dangling limb will be tahor. The Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, that a person who is able to absorb tuma, a person becomes tume when he is alive, and still his dangling limb is not mitame. Certainly a behemoth, which isn't mekabel tuma when it's alive, a living animal is not subject to tuma absorption, so certainly its dangling limb will not be metame. The Gemara. Tanan Hossam. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source. Before we read on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin to see the topic heading. Mashkin Habluim. We're going to talk about liquids that are absorbed. Enom Machshirin Es Hadovar Shein Besocho. They are not Machshir. Machshir is a situation where an item is readied to absorb tumah. So absorbed liquids are not machshir es hadover shein besocho, avol mishiyotsu hein b'chi yutan. When they absorb liquid, exits from whatever it is absorbed in, and then it, let's say, hits, it lands on some other vegetation, so then the vegetation, which prior to the becoming wet, isn't subject to Kabbalah's Tumah. As a rule, we know that in order for food items to Kabbalah's Tumah, they have to become exposed to different kinds of liquids, any one of several different kinds of liquids, one of them being water. When the liquid touches the item, it's said to become mukshar lekabel tuma. So just to repeat the point, liquids that are absorbed in something, they became absorbed, let us say, when the plant or the vegetable or fruit was growing on the tree. When something is growing, it cannot become mukshar lekabel tuma. And then it becomes detached. So the fact that it's absorbed with liquid, that does not makshir it lekabel tuma. However, as we just mentioned, when the liquid leaves it, so that liquid is capable of being makshir something else to mekabel tuma. The Tanaic source begins hamoichik es hakresha. Kresha is a type of vegetation. He crushes the kresha, v'hasoichet besairo ubiksuso, or he squeezes out his hair or his garment. Or he wrings out his garment. The absorbed liquids are not machshir. Bechiyutan is an expression that parallels the posuk, which is a reference to being machshir something lekabel tuma. So the absorbed liquids are not machshir, the item, the food item in which they are found to be lekabel tuma. Vayotzin mimeno harei hein bechiyutan. That which leaves it are machshir if they fall on other food items. Omar Shmuel, Ukresha Atzma Huchshira. The Kresha itself, after the liquid left it, after it surfaces, if you will, when it leaves it, it's Machshir, the item itself, even though it didn't touch the liquids after it left it. My time, what is the basis of Shmuel? Bishas prisha mimenu huchshura. At the point of departure, that is the point at which it becomes mukshar. The Gemara asks, how can you say that at the point of departure, it creates hechsher lekabel tuma. V'hotnan, we have what we saw in our Mishnah. We have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And here's a very fragmented quote, but you can see it's aligned with the top line of our page, where it said, Hoylech loy arve psochim, etzel v'chule, where the people with the dangling limb would go to the doctor and then yank away from the limb. So there is we'll call it a point of departure, and the person remained tohor. How then can you say that at the point of departure concerning the liquids leaving the vegetation, the kresha, that it becomes mukhshar lekabel tuma? V'yamris b'shas prishasan hukhshar, if you were to say that at the point of departure, that creates hechsher, ha'ikonami hahu aver hamedudol, Bishas prishaso me adam nitme laadam. Using the same analysis, then the limb that becomes detached from the person at the point of departure, it should metame the individual, and he should not be able to do his korban pesach. The Gemara answers, Kideko Omar Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef says later on, benitzin bekol kochan, was a forceful detachment. Nitzin is a forceful removal or detachment. Hochanami, so too in the case of the mukeshchin, benitzin b'chol koichan. It's a very rapid, forceful, jerking action, which is the reason for our saying that there's no subsequent contact. That is as opposed to the case of Shmuel's din of the kresha and the water leaving it. If it's not a sudden action of removal of departure, then there will be hechsher, hachshor lekabel tuma. The Gemara asks, Vehecho itmar de Rav Yosef, where did Rav Yosef say his particular point, this idea of forceful removal or separation? Aha, regarding the following. So we have a Tanaic source, after which Rav Yosef, who is an Amora, will make his comment. Zav v'tomei mei shehoyu mahalchin. If you have these two different types of tomei individuals, a zav is a person, a male, that had some type of a certain kind of emission, or a tomei mei, a person who had been defiled as a result of some type of contact with the dead. Shehoyu mahalchin, they were walking on the road. V'yordu aleihem gishamim, and rain fell upon them. Afapi shesoichten mitzad ho'elion litzad hatachtoi. Even though they're wringing out their garments from the upper part, causing water to flow along the garment to a lower part, tahirin, they are tohar. She'ein mechashvin elo shiyotsu mikulan. No thought is given or desire is given to waters until they leave them completely. Yotsu mikulon hare machshirin. When the waters leave them completely, so they're capable of being machshir. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi. Zav oy tomei mei shoy mahalchin baderech v'yordu gishomim abigdehem afal pi shesochton hazov bi'atzmo. Even though the Zav himself wrung out the garment, hichlik suso klape mato shiiblu hamayim, he shook off his garment so that the water should flow downwards. The liquids going from the upper part to the lower part of the garment are still tohor. If another person touches those liquids, they will remain tohor. They're of no consideration. Since those liquids are going to get absorbed, are likely to get absorbed, or they're destined to get absorbed on the lower part of the garment. As these liquids are flowing from the upper part to the lower part of the garment, it's assumed they'll get reabsorbed into the lower part of the garment. So they don't have any significance, and as a result of that, they are tohar. Rashi goes on, Yotsu mikulon harei elu machshirin, inoflu al hazroim utahorim. If these waters fall on some vegetables lying on the side, lying on the ground, these vegetables are mukhshar lekabel tuma, but they don't become tomei upon their contact with these waters. She'eno mitamin, it says Royim, they're not mitame, the vegetables. Elo imkein hazav noigea ben la'achar shiyotsu mikulan, unless the zav touches them after the waters left them completely, then the water would be metame. V'adichti b'seifa elo li'achar shiyotsu migufoi lo garsinon la. We don't have that. We have the printer has this in parentheses. So we go back to the Gemara, and we see Rav Yosef's comment on this case of the zav or the tomei meis with the water running off their garments. Why is it that the water that runs off the garment is only machshir, but it itself is not tomei? Omar Rav Yosef benitzin bekol koichan. The waters are being shaken off the garment with complete force, a very forceful detachment, we'll say, or disconnection. And as we quoted Rav Yosef earlier, when you have forceful detachment, then that which is detached has no effect on that which it was originally attached to. However, in the case of Shmuel's halacha above, with the kresha being squeezed out or wrung out from its liquid content, or the water that it got absorbed in it, as it leaves, since it's not a sudden type of disconnection, the water that leaves it is going to machshir the the kresha, the vegetable, to makabel tuma. Let's just repeat that last point. The waters that leave the vegetable will machshir the vegetable itself from which it is departing. That's because Shmuel's din was unlike what Rav Yosef said, was a different circumstance. It wasn't a sudden type of forceful detachment. The Mishnah. V'oid shoal Rabbi Akiva. Another question that Rabbi Akiva posed. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance at the side, the under our no say heading, ribui maisa veira behelam achas, a number of violations in one state of lack of awareness, kamo chayovin, how many will he be considered in violation of? In other words, how many korban chatas will be generated in this case of multiple acts? We'll see this is the same act repeated several times. Is he chayav achas al kulon, one korban chatos for all of the offenses, or al kol echad v'echad, or for each one separately? The Mishnah, we started already reading again from the beginning. The oid shal Rabbi Akiva hashochet chamesh zvochim v'chutz. We should note that the double underline is going to be used to highlight the offenses. In this case, Hashochet, later in the second version, we will see a case of Ochel. So in the first version of this Mishnah, we have, actually before going further, we should read our Mivna, our structural note, where we have a featured Roman numeral number 1 and 2, along with the double underline. These are Shnei Lishonois Bashe'ela Shishal Rabbi Akiva, two versions as to what the question Rabbi Akiva raised was. The first, Hashochet Hei Zvochim, or Chamisha Zvochim Bachutz, a person slaughtered five sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is a major offense, Behelam Echad, in one state of lack of awareness. The second version will have him asking, Oichel Noisar Mehei Zvochim Behelam Achas, where he eats nosar, meat that was left over beyond its time, beyond its designated time. He eats from five, eats nosar, this leftover meat from five sacrifices in one state of lack of awareness. We will see a diamond which highlights Rabbi Yoshua, Nisyonos Shelo Lanos Lishelos Midin Oichel Mizavach Echod Bechamisha Tamchuyim, with his attempt to answer a case, Rabbi Akiva's question, from a case of someone who eats from one sacrifice, but five tamchuyin. But later, the Gemara will ask what is meant by five tamchuyin. But for our purposes now, we'll say five different characteristics or aspects of one sacrifice, where Rabbi Yoshua says that each one will generate a separate be considered a separate offense, even though they're from one original sacrifice. Now we, having given all that overview, we turn to the Mishnah, Roman numeral number 1 that you see, Hashochei Chamisha Zvochim Bachutz, Behelam Achas Mahu, one who wrongfully slaughters five sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, but all throughout, he doesn't become aware in the interim, so we call that one state of lack of awareness. And the analysis is with the Aleph Oy Beis structure. Do we say Chayav al kol achas v'achas, that he should be guilty for each act separately? Oy achas al kulon, or it's considered one violation, and he'd be Chayav only one korban chatos for all of these acts of five slaughtering. Omru loy lo shamanu. So Rabban from Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, who were asked, they said, they respond, we didn't hear an answer to your question. Omru Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, however, says, Shamati ba'oichel mizevach echad behei tamchuyin behelam achas shu chayav al kol achas viachas mishum me'ila. that if one were to eat from one sacrifice before the Zrikas HaDam is done, before the sprinkling of the blood, so people are not allowed to benefit from it because it hasn't become available to the Kohen to benefit. That takes place only after the sprinkling of the blood takes place. So he ate from five different tamchuyin. One of the pshatim we'll see later is five different methods of preparation, but it's all coming from one sacrifice. He's chayev al koach svachas. He's considered in violation of the me'ilah sin. Me'ilah is the title of the sin for one who wrongfully benefits from that which has been sanctified. The roya ani shadvorim kal v'chomer. And says Rabbi Yeshua, I see that your question would follow, the answer to your question would follow through kal v'chomer logic from what I have heard. Omar Rabbi Shimon, lo kach shalo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shimon commenting with regard to Roman numeral number 1, he says that was not the question. Ela, so what was the question? Ba'oichel noisar mechamisha zvachim behela machas mahu. A person ate nosar, that's leftover sacrificial meat, from five separate sacrifices, and he consumed the nosar from five sacrifices in one state of lack of awareness. So what is the din? Chayav achas al kulon, o chayav al kol achas viachas. Is he guilty for one offense concerning all of them, or is he chayav a separate one for each one? Omru loy lo shamanu. Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua responded to this version of Rabbi Akiva's question. Like we saw before, we don't have a tradition regarding your case. Om Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, however, Shamati. Now you'll notice that what Rabbi Yeshua says here is the same as that which was presented in the first version. Rabbi Yeshua says, Shamati be'oichol mizevach echad b'chamisha tamchuyin behelam achas shulchay aval kol achas viachas. For that one who eats from one sacrifice, but five different tamchuyin, he's chayav for each one separately. Mishum mi'ila, that is considered a mi'ila violation, and I'll have to bring a separate sacrifice which is generated by mi'ila for each one of the violations. V'roya ani shadvorim kal v'chomer, and I see that the answer to your question would follow through kal v'chomer logic from this teaching. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responds to Rabbi Yeshua's attempt to answer by saying as follows: Im halacha nikabel, if what you are saying is an oral tradition, so I'll accept it. Im ledin, however, if you're applying this through logic, then yesh tshuva, I have a response, namely that you can't learn my question, which was an issue of nosar, from the din of me'ila that you, Rabbi Yeshua, are trying to answer me from. Amalo hashev. So Rabbi Yeshua says, so answer. Amar loy, loy. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the no means that the logic you presented is not accurate. Im amris b'me'ila, if you say from a case of me'ila, which you have your tradition on, that he's chayev for each act separately, well, the realm of me'ila is different. Sha'asa bo es ha-ma'achil ke'echel. In the case of me'ila, the one who feeds is just as guilty as the one who eats. In other words, if I take something that's of a sacrificial nature and I feed it to someone else, I'm doing an act of taking it from its sanctity to, I'm being motziat mikedushaso, I'm removing it from its sanctity. That is me'ila worthy. So we see a certain stringency by me'ila that not only the one who actually physically benefits from it is guilty, but even the one who actively takes it out of the realm of hegdish is in violation. That's hamahana kinene. Mehana would be the same situation, but with dealing with non-edibles. Someone who causes someone else to benefit from something that's been sanctified is just as guilty as the one who received the actual benefit. Another stringency with regard to me'ilot. Tzireif es ha-me'ilo lezman merubah. Rashi explains this. Shiim nene hayoim b'chatzi pruta. If a person benefited today a half pruta amount of a benefit from sanctity, umikan vat shalo yishalim chatzi pruta, and 3 years later another half pruta amount of benefit, mitstarfos lekorban. The two half pruta amounts will join together to create the requisite minimum amount to generate the bringing of a sacrifice. So, having this in mind, that we see that the machil koicha, mahane kinene, and tzrius mila zman ruba, all kinds of stringencies associated with mila, toimar benoisar, sheinbo achas meilu, should you say the same thing with regard to nosar, that it does not have any of these characteristics. If A feeds B with nosar, A hasn't violated any nosar violation. My call Kashya Leil Rabbi Shimon. Going back to the Mishnah, you notice we have a little star to the immediate right hand side of the moral text. You can align this with the star above, and you'll notice on that line Rabbi Shimon appeared. Rabbi Shimon did not like the Roman numeral number one approach to things. So that is exactly the Gemara's question here. What was bothering Rabbi Shimon that he didn't want to learn the case of Shochet, which was Rabbi Akiva's question according to version number one, from that which Rabbi Yeshua answered, the case of eating from the five from the Zevach five Tamchuyin? Hochi Kokashiole, thusly was what was bothering Rabbi Shimon. So you can see that we've used a frame in the Gemara. This framed section, in effect, is an elaboration on Rabbi Shimon and his objection to Roman numeral number one. Ma raya l'shochet me'ochel. How can you think to bring a proof to the case of shochet from the case of one who eats? Ma l'ochel shekei nene. If you tell me in the case of the Oichel Zevach Echad, he has to bring five separate sin offerings, or five separate Me'ila offerings, why? How can you learn from that where he's actually physically benefiting? He's enjoying the meat that he's eating. So, therefore, since he's Nehene, I understand why he's Chayav for each one separately. If you really are enjoying it and benefiting from it, so pay for each one separately, so to speak. You can't learn from that to a case of someone who is slaughtering animals. Elo kach shalo. This would be the second version. Ha'oichel noiser mechamisha zvachim elo mechaz mahu. As we saw above, one who ate from five different nosar leftover sacrifices in one state of lack of awareness. Chayav b'chol achas v'achas. Is he guilty of each one separately? Oy achas al kulon. Or it's considered one guilt for each act. Omru lo shamanu. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua responded, we didn't hear an answer to your question. Omri Rabbi Yeshua shamati. However, Rabbi Yeshua says, I did hear, ba'echel Mizavach echod mechamisha tamchuyin behelam achas shechayev al kol achas veachas mishum meila. That one who eats from one sacrifice from five different tamchuyin, so he's chayev a separate offense for each one, a meila offense, and he brings the special korban that's brought for meila, and he'll bring five separate ones. V'anisha dvorim kal v'chomer. And it seems to me that your question, or the answer to your question, would follow through Kal V'chomer logic from that which I know, as follows: Ma mizevach echad she'ein gufen muchlokin chayav al kol achas v'achas. Mind you, where a person ate from one sacrifice, where you don't have separate bodies, you don't have five separate sacrifices, and yet there is a separate chiyuv for each tamchui that he ate from. Mishum de tamchuyin muchlokin, because of the fact they were different tamchuyin. Well, as we said before, each piece that he ate was a separate entity in terms of a separate way of being prepared, etc. Other possibilities. Chamisha zvachim de gufin muchlokin lo kol shekein, where, as your question featured five separate original sacrifices, certainly if you ate from the nosar of five separate sacrifices, that certainly would generate a separate chiyuv for each one. The Shita Mukubetsis removes the next few lines from the Girsa, so we pick up at the next Divra Masa, the two dots. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, im halocha nikabel. On the outside margin, under our Nosei Mivne heading, we have written the following. Ma mechalek lahavos chatois noisofois. What is the mechanism that causes the bringing of a separate sin, additional separate sin offerings? We're going to see three different situations or explanations. One involves korbanos. She'ochal shelo kedin mikamo zvochim. The house marking is going to be used concerning zvochim or korbanos, as opposed to the other possibilities. Tamchuyin, it could be separate tamchuyin, even though they are associated with one sacrifice. Ha'alomos, states of lack of awareness. Hagmora todun ba'sheila im Rabbi Yeshua. Chozar boy mima shikova liel de korbanos mechalkim. Is Rabbi Yeshua going to reverse himself or back off of what he originally said? His original argument, and we just got finished learning it, was that the mechanism that causes separate offenses and hence separate the separation or the need to bring separate sin offerings is that you were dealing with separate sacrifices. So, does Rabbi Yeshua maintain that as the mechalek? She'ela zu misoireres leor kushis Rabbi Kiva b'mishna the shiny me'ila. This question arises because of Rabbi Kiva's response when he said that me'ila is different. In other words, you can't bring a raya from the case of me'ila to the case of another type of offense, like nosar. Bahemshech ro'im nisayon lomar de Rabbi Yeshua chozar bo v'yomar shehalomos mechakos. Later we will see an attempt on the part of Rabbi Yeshua, on the part of the Gemara, to say that Rabbi Yeshua did change his original approach and suggest that halomos, that separate states of awareness, in other words, where a person committed an offense in a state of lack of awareness and then became aware and then repeated the act in a new state of unawareness and then became aware, each repeat situation like that will generate a separate chatos. As we look to the Gemara, we read the Dibur Masu, Omar lo Rebbe Kiva, im halocha nekabel. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to facilitate finding where this quote comes from. Just by glancing up a number of lines, you'll see where Rabbi Akiva responded to Rabbi Yeshua, who said that if there is some type of tradition that you can parallel your case to the question of Achilas Nosar, and that you are to parallel to the case of the Achila involving Me'ila, if that's a tradition, then we'll accept it as such. However, if it's your own logic, I can question that. And Rabbi Akiva's question was based on the major differences that you find between Me'ila and other offenses. In the case of Me'ila, he had mentioned that Machil Ka'ochel and Sirif Es Me'ila Zman Merubah. Now the Gemara asks, Kiblo Rabbi Yeshua lahod shuvam Rabbi Kiva oy loy. Does Rabbi Yeshua, did he accept that response or not? Now, to go over the main point again, just again, Rabbi Yeshua's original approach to the multiple offense was because of the fact that you were dealing with multiple sacrifices. And the feeling was that if an offense concerning one sacrifice could result in multiple obligations, if the initial offense concerns multiple sacrifices, then certainly there will be multiple obligations. Does Rabbi Yeshua continue with that train of thought or that approach, or does he change? So to answer this question, the Gemara brings the following Tanaic source. Toshma, we should just point out that we have a long answer marking that accompanies this. Starting here, the tuff that you see encircled with a descending vertical dash line, this lasts down the top few lines of Tezayin Omid Aleph. It'll take us six lines down the top, after which the Gemara will reject what we are about to say. So here we go for an attempted answer. Desanya. We bring a Tanaic source that will take us to the very bottom of the page. After we finish learning this Tanaic source, the Gemara at the top of Tez Zayin, Amud Aleph, will try to establish that this is a Rabbi Yoshua source. And after that, after establishing that it's Rabbi Yoshua, we will see a different basis for multiple obligations. And based on that, we will try to say that Rabbi Yoshua backed off of his position that we see, that we've seen till now. Again, even though we might be sounding a bit repetitious, we're focusing on the issue of what is the mechanism that causes multiple obligations in Rabbi Yeshua's mind. So we have a source, Desanyo, Ochal Chomesh Chatichos Noisor Mizevach Echod Behelamachas, five pieces of nosar from one sacrifice in one state of lack of awareness, b'chamisha tamchuyin, eino mevi elo chatas achas. If he ate them in five different tamchuyin, he brings only one korban chatas. V'al loy hoida shelahen, this marking, this triangle with the colored end tip, is used to emphasize the expression loy hoida, and this will have value later on. So that if he was lo hodah shelahen, means he wasn't aware of his having violated something. The korban chatas is brought when one knows what he did, he just wasn't aware of it being forbidden. The case of lo hodah is a case where he wasn't aware that he had done anything wrong in the first place. Rashi points out lo hoda, the example Rashi gives, shehoyu chamesh chatichos noser v'chamesh chatichos ksheros lefonav. He had five pieces of noser and five kosher pieces in front of him. V'ein yodua eizo ochal. He doesn't know which piece he ate. And he had eaten five pieces, but he doesn't know, is it five pieces of noser or five pieces of kosher meat? Im hahe shel noser, im hahe ksheros. Let's read that line again in the Rashi. V'ein yodua ezo ochal im hahe shel nosar im hahe shel ksheros. So here's a case of he doesn't know whether he violated something to begin with. So in such a case, eino mevi elo osham toloi achas. The type of sacrifice one brings when he is in doubt whether he violated something at all is called Oshom Tolui. Another case, Mechamisha Tamchuyin B'chamesh HaLomos, if he ate from one sacrifice five different Tamchuyin, however in five states of lack of awareness. So he brings a separate Chatos for each one. That's maybe Chatos I'll call Achas V'Achas V'Al Loi Hoida Shelahen. And regarding if each one that he ate was in a state of lo hoda, then he brings maybe osham tolui, I'll call achas viachas. A separate osham tolui is generated. Mehe zvochim behelom achas, if he eats from five separate sacrifices in one state of lack of awareness, chayav, I'll call achas viachas. He'll bring a separate sin offering for each one. Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda Omer, Afilu ochal mehei chatichos mehei zvochim behelam achas, eino mevi elo chatas achas. Rabbi Yossi Rabuda is much more lenient or limiting, and he says that even if he ate five pieces from five separate sacrifices, but it was all in one state of lack of awareness, he brings only one sin offering. V'al sfeikon ein mevi elo oshem toli achas. And in the case of Suffolk, whether he was in violation at all, he brings only one oshem toli. Klolo Sheldavar. Kol Shechalukin Bechatois, Chalukin Bashamos. The rule of thumb is that where there will be a separate chatos generated, then under similar circumstances, there will be a separate korban osham in the case that he's unaware. Rashi points out that this next comment is back to the Tanakama. Ochal Chamesh Chatichos Bechamesha Tamchuyin, Mizevach Echod, Lefnei Zrikas Domim. If he ate five pieces that were prepared in five tamchuyin from one sacrifice, lifnei zrikas domim, which is indicating that there is no heter lekohanim, and that there is an iser mi'ilah, afilu behelam achas, even if he's in one state of lack of awareness, chayav al kol achas ve'achas mishum mi'ilah. Since we're talking about the eating before zrikas dam, we're talking about something that could generate a mi'ilah violation. And therefore, we see here that five separate pieces from five in five different tamchuyin, even though it's from one zevach, generates five separate me'ilah sacrifices. At the top of Tez Zayin, Omed Aleph, Ve'ilu al Sfeiko mevi osham toli lo kotani. Regarding this last point about a suffik, whether he violated me'ilah, where there were five, we'll say, problematic pieces and five kosher pieces, and he doesn't know which five he ate, so there's no reference to his bringing a five osham toluis. Money, who is the author of this source? Ilemo Rabbi Akiva, if it were according to Rabbi Akiva, lisni nami seifa, then the seifa, regarding the issue of mi'ilah, should have added the al sfeikon may be osham tolui, that if there's a doubt regarding the which five pieces he ate, namely the sacrificial pieces or kosher pieces that he ate before the zrikas adam, it should say he should bring five osham toluis. The ha'atana Rabbi Kiva mechayav al sfeik mi osham tolui. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that when there's a doubt concerning a me'ilah violation, that generates as well an osham tolui. However, no reference to the issue of suffik in the context of mi'ilah is mentioned. So, elolav Rabbi Yeshua hi. Rather, it must be according to Rabbi Yeshua that says that for suffik mi'ilah, there is no osham toli generated. So we now have a source that we can say is a Rabbi Yeshua source, the katani, and it says in this source, you'll notice we have a little star, which indicates Tes Vav Omid Beis, and this helps you refer to where this quote is coming from, because it mentioned there in that source B'chamesh Ha'alamos. If you go back to Omid Beis, Tes Vav Omid Beis, you'll notice that there was Chamesh Tamchuyin in Chamesh Halomos. And it was a case of Zevach Echad, was from one sacrifice. And it said, Mevi Chamesh Chatos, that he brings five separate sin offerings. Ushma mina, tibla mine. So we see that Rabbi Yeshua had accepted Rabbi Akiva's point, and he backed off of what he originally said. In other words, up till now, we had learned in the past, Rabbi Yeshua says that it's the multiple sacrifices that causes the multiple obligations. Here we see that even in one sacrifice, since it's Chamesh Ha'alamos, that will generate separate obligations. That represents the end of the long answer. However, elo adarabo, the Gemara here reverses and rejects this. Mi seifa dekotoni, from the seifa which taught. And this you can see was also in a house marking on the on Tez Vav Amid Beis. It said there may chamisha zvachim afilu behelam achas chayav al kol achas v'achas. Here's a case where he ate from five separate sacrifices in one state of lack of awareness. He is chayav multiple offerings. What do you see from here? You see from here, from the same source, it says that five zvachim, it means the zvachim, the separate korbanos, are what generates the separate obligations. Not the separate states of lack of awareness, because in this very section you could see he was in one state of lack of awareness, and yet he was chayav separate zvachim, separate chatos for each one. Shmamino lo kiblomine. Well, then this would show us that he didn't accept that Yeshua did not accept Rabbi Akiva's objection. The Elomai Yisloch Lememar. What are you going to have to say now? Tanoihi, that this is a machlokes tanoim. The Iko Tono de Kibla, the Iko Tono de Lo Kibla, that really there's a machlokes whether Rabbi Yeshua accepted Rabbi Akiva's objection to begin with or not. Well, if that's what you're going to have to say, I can tell you, afilu temo kulo Rabbi Akivahi. I can tell you that this whole source is in line with Rabbi Akiva. Now, before we had trouble setting it up like Rabbi Akiva, based on what we saw at the very top of this omit of Gemara, because there was no reference to an osham tolui in the context of Mi'ila. But I will tell you that the whole source is according to Rabbi Akiva. Vahai Tano, and by the way, if you say it's according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't use this source to answer the question of as to whether Rabbi Yeshua was Makabel from Rabbi Akiva's objection or not, because this source is now being labeled a Rabbi Akiva source and not a Rabbi Yeshua source. So we'll tell you the whole source is Rabbi Akiva. Vahai Tano Sovarlo Kavose Bechada Upalig Ole Bechada. This Tana agrees with Rabbi Akiva on one point and disagrees with him on another. Sava lo kavosei b'haloma, he agrees with him regarding ha'aloma, namely that ha'alomos are capable of causing separate obligations and not necessarily separate sacrifices. Upolig ole b'me'ilos, and disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. The Tana of this source disagrees with Rabbi Akiva with regard to me'ila, whereas Rabbi Akiva says that a sofek me'ila does not generate an osham tolui, or a sofek me'ila would generate an osham tolui. This Tana holds a sofek me'ila will not generate an osham tolui. The Gemara goes on regarding the issue of tamchuyin, as we mentioned earlier. Heichi domi chamesh tamchuyin. We saw numerous references to five tamchuyin. So Omar Shmuel ke'oisa sheshaninu, like is taught in the following source: chamisha dvorim ba'ola mitstarfin. A korban ola is a sacrifice that is supposed to be offered completely on the mizbeach in the temple courtyard. Let us say a person offered up, in other words, he burnt a korban ola outside the Beis HaMikdash. There is an offense of ma'ale b'chutz, the offering up outside, if one offers up an olive quantity. So, the source says, ha'bosar v'ha'chelev v'ha'yayin v'ha'solus v'ha'shemen. If you take from the meat, from the fats, the wine, the flour of a meal, of the accompanying meal offering, and the oil of that accompanying meal offering, that are part of the Ola sacrifice. If you offer up an olive quantity of that is made up of these five different ingredients, they join up. And he would be chayav for ma'ale oila b'chutz. So that the term chamisha tamchuyin could be applied here if a person ate from these five different elements. He would be guilty of whatever eating violation is involved. But Chamisha Tamchuyin would be a reference to these five different parts that make up the sacrificial offering. Chizkiya Omar Kigon Shochal Me Chamisha Evorim. Chizkiya's explanation of Tamchuyin would mean that he ate from five separate limbs. Reish Lakish Omar Filu Teimo Be'Evor Echad Mishkachas Lo Be'Kosef. Reish Lakish says you can have this concept of five Tamchuyin even in one limb if you are talking about the Kosef. The Kosef is the shoulder. In the shoulder, you have five separate aspects limb-wise, and Rashi enumerates them. He says, Yesh Chamisha Evorim HaParsa Vo'etzim HaTachton Ar Arkuvo Ushnei Atzomos Levad Min HaKosef. The next opinion, Reb Yitzchok Nafcha Omar, Kegon She'ochal, B'chamisha Minei Kedera. Chamisha Minei Kedera is the explanation we used earlier, five different methods of Chamisha Minei Kedera. We'll look at the Rashi. He says, Kegon Kreshin, Ubitzolim, Ukru, V'dalas, V'lefes, V'ochlam, Kozeh, Atzmo, V'kozeh, Atzmo. In effect, it would mean that he ate the sacrificial meat with five different vegetables, five different ways of, or five different vegetables, we can say, as we saw in the Rashi. And finally, we see another pshat. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Kegon She'ochal B'chamisha Te'omim. Rashi on this says, Tzli umuvusho kovet sholok tzli kedar. This would be five different ways of preparing it. One, roasting, you can have cooking, pickled, sholok is a type of undercooking, and tzli kedar, a type of pot roast. Before concluding today's shiur, I would like just to go back to a point mentioned before that requires a little further clarification, and that is in the Dechia that we saw where the Dalet was circled with the descending vertical dashed line, and we're talking about the Gemara that we learned six lines from the top, where it's Ela Adarabo, Misefo Dekotoni, etc. The Gemara had said that from the Seifa, one would see, it would appear that Rabbi Yeshua was not Mekabel from Rabbi Akiva, his answer, and insists that Zvochim are Mechalek. At that point, at the end of the last narrow line of Gemara, the Gemara says, well, Ve'elomai is loch lemeimar tanoihi. Are you going to then have to say that this source that you want to claim is a Rabbi Yeshua source is a, there is a machlokes tanoim within what Rabbi Yeshua actually holds? So the Gemara then said, Afilu tema kula Rabbi Akiva hi. On the second wide line, the Gemara then says, listen, you can't bring a proof whatsoever that there's any indication, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that there was a reversal on his part, because the source might very well be a Rabbi Akiva source. However, within that understanding, we have to explain, based on what we see in the Tosfos, that the part of the source that says Ha'alomos are Machalkos, that Tana, that part of the source, is like Rabbi Akiva. The part of the source, however, that said where he eats from five Zvochim, even in one state of lack of awareness, that he has to bring a separate korban for each act, and we see there that it was the dividing factor was Hei Zvochim, so Tosfos points out that section of the source is, in fact, Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, once you're coming on to saying that the source is a Tanoi, itself has a built-in Machlokas Tanoim, I can tell you that the source, in fact, has a built-in machlokas tanoim. The section of the source that indicated ha'alomos amachalkos, that is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva. The source, the section of the source that said that zvachim are machalek, that is in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua. But from all of this, we don't determine, we don't have any conclusive note or comment regarding Rabbi Yeshua actually backing down from his original point of view. Quite the contrary. According to this last approach, Rabbi Yeshua maintains that it is sacrifices, the multiple sacrifices, that cause the chiluk and not the ha'alomas. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.